إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. This is the second lesson that we're having, reading from the treatise of Imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Suleiman ibn Ali Tamimi rahimahullah ta'ala. And last week we began with a brief introduction to the treatise, and now we would read from the work of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan hafizahullah ta'ala. And just to inform you, from time to time I will give my own comments and clarification and expand or expound on that which is mentioned by the Sharih. The Sharih, yani the one who is explaining the book, who is Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, may Allah preserve him. And one of the benefits of reading from the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan is that the fact that he's still alive. So if we come across something, and if we need clarification on something which he mentions, or with the author, or which the author mentions, we can refer back. وَلَلَّهِ الْحَمْدُنَا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى will be something that we will do. At times, I will go to the Shaykh, and I will ask him certain questions, because obviously, you know, the majority of those who are following the lesson are in the West, whether that be America, whether that be England. So there are certain things I would like to ask the Shaykh about concerning the treatment of the Kuffar and the likes. And we'll come to that بإذن الله تعالى when we do the treatise. He begins, حفظ الله تعالى, by mentioning the statement of the author where he said, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. He says, ابتدأ رحمه الله هذه الرسالة بالبسملة اقتداء بكتاب الله عز وجل. فإن أول ما يقع به بصرك في المصحف وقبل كل سورة منه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Sheikh Fawzan, he said that the author here, he mentioned, he began his treatise with بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And he did so following the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, because the first thing that your eyes fall upon when you open up the Qur'an, and in front of every surah, every chapter of the Qur'an, you find Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And a comment, and whenever I say a comment, meaning from myself, that is with every surah except Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah, and you find some of the ulama, they call it Surah Al-Bara'ah. براءة من الله ورسوله إلى الذين عاهدتم من المشركين. سورة التوبة Well, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions in the beginning of it, he does not begin it with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in the beginning of that surah, he's freeing himself and his prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the mushrikeen. So that surah does not begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, but the rest of the Quran does. The Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafizullah Ta'ala, he's saying that the author, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, is beginning his treatise with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim because this is following the book of Allah. This is following the Quran. And he says, فَالْبَدَاءَةُ بِهَا فِي الرَّسَائِلِ وَفِي الْكُتُبِ وَفِي الْمُؤَلَّفَاتِ اقْتِدَاءً بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So when you begin with, the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the beginning of a treatise or a book or works, you are following the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَكَذَلُكَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يَكْتُبُهَا فِي أَوَّلِ رَسَائِلِهِ حِينَمَا يَكْتُبُ إِلَى الْأُمَرَى وَالرُّؤَسَاءِ وَإِلَى مَنْ فِي أَقْطَارِ الْأَرْضِ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ يَبْدَأُ كِتَابِهِ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ أو يَبْدَأُ كِتَابَتَهُ. Yani that the Prophet, similar to the book of Allah, you also have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to begin his letters when he would write to the leaders, when he would write to the different parts of the world calling them to Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would begin his writing with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, a comment. We understand from this the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to start his letters to the people in different parts of the world. For one, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his da'wah was not munhasir, his da'wah was not limited to the Arabian Peninsula. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent individuals on camel to other parts of the surrounding areas to call the people to Islam. And that should be the case. That should be the case of a da'i. A da'i should call people to Islam. We want the people, you know, we want the people to come to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. We want the people to be saved from darkness to light, as Allah Ta'ala says, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. And you have been sent to take the people from darkness to light. So we approach the people face to face, and we spread this by writing letters to people in different parts of the world. And that is a tremendous benefit, because the reality is some of us, we find it difficult to face, you know, some of our relatives or our bosses, sometimes our neighbors and the likes of that face to face. We find it difficult, but it's possible. You should, you know, use the means of writing a letter, writing an email, you know. So this was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, writing letters to individuals far and wide. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And when the author says, or when Sheikh Salih Fawzan says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to begin in his writing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ummi. He could not read nor could he write. But that which is intended is that he used to order other individuals to write. Now, then he says, وَكَانَ يَفْتَتِهُ أَحَادِيثَهُ وَكَلَامُهُ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to begin his narrations, his hadiths, his statements with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. مِمَّا يَدِلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْبَدَاءَةَ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ سُنَّةُ الرَّسُولِ. This informs you that this is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in fact, if you read, and this is a comment, in fact, if you read the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such as Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, you find that the Sahaba, they used to say, فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ. They used to say this a lot. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised Allah, and he glorified him. He praised Allah and he glorified him. So we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to begin with Bismillah. And sometimes he used to begin with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And he used to praise Allah. He used to praise Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So this was the sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, كَمَا أَنَّ سُلَيْمَانَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ لما كتب إلى بلقيس ملكة سبأ بدع كتابه ببسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يعني he said and سليمان عليه الصلاة والسلام, سليمان بن داود, he did the same thing. سليمان the son of داود, the son of داود عليهم الصلاة والسلام, he did the same thing when he wrote his letter to بلقيس. And بلقيس, she was the queen of سبأ, and سبأ was a tribe in Yemen. It was a tribe in Yemen who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed with tremendous blessings. And they had a female who was their king. Or she was their queen, I should say. She was their queen. And you can find this, you can find this in the Quran, in Surah Naml. You can find this in the Quran in Surah Naml, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Suleiman and Balqis. And these individuals, the fact that these individuals, they used to worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And they used to prostrate to the sun. And that story is in the Quran. And he says, قالت يا أيها الملأ إني ألقي إلي كتاب كريم إنه من سليمان وإنه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In Surah An-Naml, the 29th verse, where Suleiman عليه الصلاة والسلام had sent he sent a letter to Balqis, and when she received the letter, she spoke to her congregation and she said, verily I have a letter and it says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So this sunnah of starting with the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, is not only from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it is from the prophets of also the past. And he says, yanbaghi البدعو ببسم الله الرحمن الرحيم في كل أمر له أهمية. So we should begin with بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم in every affair which is important. وكل مؤلف له أهمية وله قيمة وكل رسالة. And we should begin in everything that we, if we begin something important, we should begin with بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. If we begin a treatise or a book, we should also begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وعلى هذا فالذين لا يبدأون مؤلفاتهم ورسائلهم ببسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هؤلاء تركوا السنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم السنة النبوية. And because of this, those individuals who do not begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then they have abandoned the sunnah of their Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. والاقتداء بكتاب الله عز وجل. And they have also abandoned following the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وربما بسبب ذلك أن كتبهم هذه ورسائلهم ليس فيها بركة وليس فيها فائدة. And it's possible because they have not began with the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, it's possible that their books and their treaties are void of blessing and void of benefit. There's no doubt, يعني an individual, and as a comment, an individual should understand that he should have ta'zeem of Allah, he should have reverence for Allah Azza wa Jal. So when he begins something, something which he hopes to be of benefit, he should begin with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because this would bring barakat, this would bless that which he is trying to perform, and because of that, If you were to go into the authentic sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would find, you know, when he would leave the home, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, when entering into the home, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, when laying down on his bed, to remember Allah, when eating, drinking, remembering Allah. The beginning of the day, remembering Allah. At the end of the day, remembering Allah. Even having intercourse with one's spouse, an individual is, it is legislated that an individual remembers Allah Azza wa Jal with this supplication, and that is in the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. And those different supplications can be found in the books of supplication. He says, لأنها إذا خلت من بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإنها منزوعة الفائدة. Because if that which you're doing, and obviously of good deeds, because obviously if an individual is doing a bad deed, he does not begin in the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The Shaykh said, Hafizullah Ta'ala, because if it is void of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then it would be void of benefits. It would be void of benefits. Now it might benefit others, you know, as a comment. It might benefit others. You know, if you begin a book or if you begin a lecture without remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla, maybe the people that hear it would benefit. But will you benefit? Will you benefit? Allahu Alam. Because you have not began as you were instructed to begin, which is to remember Allah and praise Him as it was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he says, لِمَاذَا تَرَفُوا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. Why did they abandon it? إِنَّمَا تَرَكُوهَا لِأَنَّهَا سُنَّةِ وَهُمْ يَنْفِرُونَ مِنَ السُنَّةِ أَوْ يُقَلِّدُونَ مَنْ يَنْفِرُ مِنَ السُنَّةِ فَيَنْبَغِي التَّنَبَّحْ لِمِثْلِ هَذَا. He said, why did they leave it? They left it because it's the sunnah. And they run away from the sunnah. And that's the reality. A comment, yes, that is a reality. Yes, it feels that. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they abandon it, knowing that it's the sunnah. And the reality is, because you have some individuals that say, but that doesn't catch the hearts of the people. Yani, you have individuals that know that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say at the beginning of his lectures and the likes of that is khutbat al-haja. Most of the time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say khutbat al-haja. But you have individuals, when they give lectures or they give lessons, they never begin with khutbat al-haja. Why? Okay, it's understood. At times you begin with khutbat al-haja, and other times you begin with different praise of Allah azza wa jal. You know, but never khutbat al-haja. Why? Why have you abandoned the sunnah of your Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that you feel that other than it is better? And there's some people that feel that way, yani. You know, I have a different methodology of, you know, gaining the attention of the people. I have a different methodology. So they don't implement the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we've seen this. And we've seen this, individuals in their lectures. Individuals in their lectures, instead of mentioning قال الله قال رسول, they began to mention the statements of the kuffar. They began to mention the statements of individuals who disbelieve in Allah. They began to mention the statements of philosophers and the likes. Why don't they mention the statements of Allah? Why don't they mention the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? One of two reasons. Either they don't have knowledge of the statements of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they have knowledge of the statements of Allah and His Messenger, but they feel that that's not what grabs the attention of the people. They feel that that's not what grabs the attention of the people. Did not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in khutbat al-haja, أحسن أو خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The best speech is the speech of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With that being the case, that's why we are living at a time where the speech is plentiful, but the results are deficient, because we are not. To some extent, you have individuals that are not adhering to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their teaching and in their cultivating the people. Now, the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala, he mentioned, they left the sunnah, they left Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim because it's the sunnah, and they run away from the sunnah. Or they follow those who run away from the sunnah, and it's important that we mention this. Important that this is focused on. So ma'na, he said, so the meaning, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan is going into what is the meaning of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and he summarized it. The fact that, and I'm going to read what he says, but the fact that if one of the books, Walillahi alhamd, or one of the two books that I can remember right now, which are translated, the explanations of Usul al-Thalatha, is one by Sheikh Saleh Sheikh Muhammad bin Saleh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, and that was translated by our brother Abu Talha. May Allah have mercy upon him. That one, if you want a, you know, and there's no, and I would actually say that everyone should have a copy of that. There's no doubt one of the best books that that every individual should have in their Islamic library is The Explanation of the Three Fundamentals by Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, The Explanation by Sheikh Muhammad bin Saleh Al-Uthaymeen. You have the translation by Abu Talha, which is available from England, and you have the translation by Dar As-Salam. You also have the translation by Dar As-Salam. And the best of the two is the one by Abu Talha. The best of the two is the one by Abu Talha, rahimahullah ta'ala. Keep that beside you when you're attending the lesson. If there's something that you want to expound on, because Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan's, although it looks thicker, but Sheikh Uthaymeen's, his goes into more explanation. His goes into more specific explanation, so keep that alongside you. He says, فَمَعْنَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, the meaning of the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, الْإِسْتِعَانَ بِإِسْمِ اللَّهِ, is that you seek assistance with the name of Allah. فَقَوْلُهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ جَارٌ وَمَجْرُورٌ مُتَعَلِّقٌ بِمَحْظُوفٍ. The statement of, you know, the name of Allah Azza wa Jal is jar, with the ba, and the majroor, which is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's connected to something else. تَقْدِيرُهُ, that thing which is connected to, which is missing, أَسْتَعِينُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. And there's a verb that comes before it. When you say in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, there's actually a verb that comes before it. It's not present, but it's understood from the sentence, or from the term itself. And that is, I seek assistance in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Or, the first is, I seek assistance in the name, I seek assistance in that which I'm about to do, which is about to start a book. Ibn Abdul Wahhab, he was about to start a book, rahimahullah ta'ala. So when he says Bismillah, meaning I seek assistance in the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or I begin with the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Now, so those were two things. And, you know, the specific meaning of Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, you can find that in Sheikh Uthaymeen's explanation. Ar-Rahman is that Allah ta'ala himself is merciful. Ar-Rahim is when he uses that mercy for his servants. This is one of the things that were mentioned. Another thing that was mentioned is that Ar-Rahman is to all of the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman to all of the creation, and Allah is Ar-Rahim only to the believers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, and he is merciful to the believers. So those were two explanations that were mentioned, and it was not mentioned here by Sheikh Salih Fawzan, but it was mentioned in the explanation of Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, تَبَرُّكٌ بِهَا وَإِسْتِعَانَةً بِاللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلْ. So for one, you begin, or you seek assistance with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. For one, to attain or to gain barakah, blessings. And for two, to seek assistance from Allah. فَهِيَ مَطْلَعٌ عَظِيمٌ لِلْكَلَامِ وَلِلْكُتُبِ وَالرَّسَائِلِ. So it is a tremendous start. It is a tremendous introduction. That's what you should start with. Whether it's your speech, whether it's your books, whether it's your letters, comment. Does that mean if I want to go into my house and talk to my wife, or if I want to go into my job and talk to my boss, I should start with Bismillah? No, doesn't mean that. Nor was it something we found the Salaf doing every time they speak, they say Bismillah. But if you want to talk about something important, if you want to talk about something Islamic, you know, something that has Islamic importance, you want to give someone advice, you want to admonish someone, then it is legislated that you do so. فَالْإِنسَانُ يَسْتَعِينُ بِاللَّهِ فِي بِدَايَتِهَا وَيَتَبَرَّكْ بِاسْمِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So the person, you should begin with, you should seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning, and you should seek the reward from Allah by using His name. Then he goes into قَوْلُهُ, the statement of the author, اِعْلَمْ رَحِيمَكَ اللَّهُ. The author says, no, may Allah have mercy upon you. He says, قَوْلُهُ اِعْلَمْ. كلمة تشير إلى الاهتمام بالموضوع. This is a statement. No. When he says no, this is a statement that shows you that you should have some focus and concentration on the subject that's going to come. Focus on and concentration in the subject that's going to come. فَإِذَا قَالَ أَعْلَمْ. So when it is said, no. فَمَعْنَاهُ أَنَّ الْأَمْرَ الَّذِي سَيَلْقِيهِ عَلَيْكَ أَمْرٌ مُهِمٌ. The meaning is that which is going to be mentioned to you thereafter is something of tremendous importance. فَهَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةُ تَدِلُّ عَلَى أَهَمِّيَةِ الْمَوْضُوعَ الَّتِي يَبْدَأُ بِهَا فِيهِ. So this statement informs you of the seriousness of the subject that's going to be presented. And as a comment, you actually find this in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. One of the verses says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. مثلا in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 260, Allah says, and know that Allah Azza wa Jal is the Almighty, All Wise. And even before that, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Know. You know, Allah didn't say, Allah مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah is with those who fear Him, or with those who are pious. No. Allah says, وَعْلَمُوا. Know. And so it's bringing about your intent. It's bringing about your attention. Know for certainty that Allah is with those who possess taqwa. In Surah Al-Baqarah 194. Likewise, اتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب. Also Surah Al-Baqarah 196. When Allah says, واتقوا الله, fear Allah, واعلموا, and know, have certainty that Allah is severe in punishment. So this statement, اعلموا, اعلم, you know, these forms of tanbihat, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, يا أيها الناس, O you who believe, O people, اعلموا, know, have certainty. These are actually things, or adat tanbih, these are actually tools that Allah SWT uses, grammatical phrases and tools that Allah SWT uses in the Quran to let the person know that that which is being said is important. That which is being said is important. So it's not something made up by Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. You have its origin in the Quran. You have its origin in the Quran. ومعنى اعلم, and the meaning of اعلم, فعل الأمر من العلم. It is the order from the word, knowledge. أي تعلم, meaning to learn, to know. والعلم, and he's given now, حبيب الله تعالى, the explanation of the word knowledge. هو إدراك شيء على ما هو عليه في الواقع أو تصور شيء على طبق الواقع. He said it is to understand something according to its reality, or to realize something according to, or to realize something in its proper sense. This is knowledge. This is knowledge. وإدراك شيء على خلاف ما هو عليه في الواقع أو تصور شيء على خلاف الواقع هو الجهل ضد العلم. And to realize something in a manner which is opposing the reality or in opposition to the reality, this is ignorance. This is ignorance, and it is the opposite of knowledge. قوله رحمك الله, the statement of the author. So the author says, اعلم, know, have certainty. May Allah have mercy upon you. The statement, may Allah have mercy upon you, where he says, رحمك الله, هذا دعاء لطالب العلم. He said, this is a dua for the student of knowledge. فالشيخ يدعو لطلبة العلم بأن يرحمهم الله ويلقي عليهم رحمته سبحانه وتعالى. The Shaykh, like Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he's supplicating for the student of knowledge that Allah has mercy upon them, and that Allah releases His mercy upon them. فهذا فيه تلطف. This is His gentleness. من المعلم بالمتعلم. This is gentleness from the teacher for the student. Comment. There's no doubt with Allah alhamd. And the Shaykh is going to mention this, but the gentleness that's shown by the teacher, especially in the beginning, has a tremendous impact on the student. Has a tremendous impact on the student. And we find this in the authentic sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you as a mercy to mankind. This is how Allah Azza wa Jalla described in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also described him as, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned about his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the mercy of Allah, you were gentle with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. If you were someone who was harsh and hard-hearted, they would have dispersed. They would have left you. They would have abandoned you. So that shows you the mabda, that shows you the foundation and the beginning etiquettes of a teacher is that he's gentle with his students. Sheikh Saleh Fazan says, حَبِيبُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَأَنَّهُ يَبْدَأُ بِالْكَلَامِ الطَّيِّبِ وَالدُّعَاءِ الصَّالِحِ حَتَّى يُؤَثِّرُ ذَلِكَ. That you, the teacher, they should begin with the good speech and righteous supplication, so this would have an effect, an impact. فِيهِ وَيُقْبِلُ عَلَى مُعَلِّمِهِ. And this would have an impact upon the student, and the student would turn toward, he would accept, he would, you know, he would display more acceptance of his teacher, because the teacher has approached him in a manner which is gentle. He has approached him in a manner which shows his kindness, which shows his compassion for his student. And that's something that we can benefit from the Book of Allah, we can benefit from the Sunnah of the beloved of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Comment. Does that mean that if an individual possesses knowledge, but he's harsh, that we should not benefit from him? The reality is, that individual, it is upon him to be gentle. It's upon him to show concern and compassion. But if he doesn't, and some people don't, reality is some people don't. As Imam Malik mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ أَخْلَاقِكُمْ كَمَا فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ أَرْزَاقِكُمْ. It was mentioned by Imam Malik bin Anas, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the famous four imams, that Allah has, you know, distinguished between your character, just as He has distinguished between your wealth. So there are some individuals who they haven't obtained the character which is befitting, although they've obtained knowledge. And at times you might find that that may be the only one, or that might be the individual who, you know, may be very strong in knowledge. You may be very strong in knowledge, and you really want to benefit from that individual. You really want to learn from that individual. So you, at times, as a student, you might have to overlook certain things which you see, certain characteristics that you see from your teacher, because you want to benefit the knowledge from him. And you supplicate to Allah that Allah corrects him. You supplicate to Allah that Allah makes him gentle and likes of that. But you don't want to forbid yourself from knowledge because of the character or the harshness of the teacher. And because of that, an example of that, and like I said, although indeed it is upon the teacher to have that gentleness, if I'm not mistaken, Shu'ba bin Hajjaj, if I'm not mistaken, just one example, in the life story of Shu'ba bin Hajjaj, it was mentioned that he was tough with his students, because he was very cautious of his time. He was an individual who was very cautious of his time, did not want to waste time. He wanted to study, he wanted to learn, he wanted to teach and the likes of that. And one day his students approached him, and it's mentioned that he had a guard dog, and that it's permissible for a person to have a guard dog. So he had a guard dog out of his house, and when individuals would visit him, and he didn't want those individuals to visit him, you know, they wouldn't enter because of the guard dog. And one day he he left his house and he left his yard and he, you know, left the gate and he was crying. And his students who were waiting at the gate, they wouldn't dare enter because of the guard dog. They said to him, why are you crying? And he says, لَقَدْ مَاتَ الَّذِي كَانَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. He said, verily, the one who used to enjoy the good, he has died. And he was referring to his dog. Because the dog used to keep, you know, the people, unnecessary visitors away. You know, where Shu'ab ibn Hajjaj would have his time to study. Of course, when it was time for his students, he would let them in. But if he had guests and the likes of that, you know, sometimes you have an individual, he wants to study. And his, you know, he has specific times for accepting guests and accepting students. But other than that, he doesn't want people to disturb him. Why? Because the reality is if you were to open your door for people all of the time, you wouldn't have any time to study. You wouldn't have any time to study. So when he came out, he said, verily, the one who used to enjoy the good, he has died, meaning the dog who used to keep away the unwanted guests. Now, but in general, indeed, the teacher should have mercy. Then he said, حبيب الله تعالى, إذا بدع المعلم بالكلام القاسي والكلام غير المناسب فإن هذا ينفره. He said, so if the teacher, if he begins his lessons and teaching and the likes with speech which is rough and speech which is not befitting, then this is something to make your students away. It would make your students abandon you. فالواجب على المعلم وعلى من يدعو إلى الله وعلى من يأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر التلطف مع من يخاطبه بالدعاء له والثناء عليه والكلام اللين فإن هذا أدعى للقبول. He said, so it is obligatory that the teacher, it's obligatory upon the teacher. Look, he mentions one, it's obligatory upon the teacher. It's obligatory upon the one who calls to Allah. The second one, it's obligatory upon the one who enjoins the good. It's the third one. And forbids the evil. That's the fourth one. It's obligatory upon those four individuals to be gentle when they are, you know, delivering the message to the people. And one of the ways they are gentle, by supplicating for them and praising them, supplicating for them, praising them, being gentle with them. Because this would assist in their message, lessons being accepted from them. And the reality is, this is a comment, the reality is, you know, that which the Sheikh said is it's important, and it's something that needs to be implemented. And, you know, and I speak about myself first and foremost, you know, when an individual is calling to Allah and enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, at times, bil asaf al-shadid, you know, sorry to say, I'm sorry to say this, but at times we might find an individual who has gained a level of knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the individual with a level of knowledge. When he's in front of the people, he's very soft, he's very gentle, he's very compassionate. And when he's in his home, he's the opposite. Now, where does that come from? Where does that stem from? You know, one must ask a rhetorical question. Where does that stem from? Is it that he wants to display a character which is not his true character in front of the people? Allah knows best. Is it that, that, and like I said, I'm talking to myself before I talk, you know, before I'm talking to others. Is it that he wants the people to be attracted to his da'wah and to his character and to him, but he doesn't care about his own family? Indeed, the people who are more and most deserving of your good character is your family members. And the people that you're going to be questioned about, first and foremost, is your family members. Is your family members. So it's upon myself, and it's upon those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in position to teach, to give da'wah, to enjoin the good, to forbid the evil, that they first begin with their family. And that gentleness and that compassion And that want for good should first and foremost be displayed in the home. And indeed, if we look into the authentic sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that that was the case. And we it has never been mentioned by Aisha, by Abu Huraira, by Ibn Umar, by Anas bin Malik, by any of them, that they saw a different character. Those individuals who were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam day and night. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who he was the nephew of Maymuna. The nephew of Maymuna, so he used to stay with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at night. Sometimes he used to stay with the Prophet at night. And other individuals who stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Anas bin Malik and Ibn Umar and other individuals who stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, when those individuals would go away, Aisha, the wives of the Prophet, did they ever mention that the character of the Prophet was different inside the home? No. لَمَّا سُئِلَتْ Aisha, when Aisha was asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inside of his home, she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was the Qur'an. And when she asked what was he involved in when he was at home, she said, كَانَ فِي خِدْمَةِ أَهْلِهِ. He used to take care of his family. He used to service his family. So the reality is that that character needs to be first and foremost displayed in the home of the individual. And there is no greater hindrance for the family of the teacher than them seeing him displaying wonderful, exemplary character in front of the people and displaying the opposite of that character at home. How do you expect them to realize your sincerity? How do you expect them to hold you to be someone of sincerity when they see the exact opposite at home? The reality is that which comes to them of the whispers of the shaitan is that this individual does not act upon his knowledge, and or that this individual has the characteristics of a hypocrite, because he or she does not display this gentleness with us. And the reason why I said he or she, because no, you might even have that from amongst the women. You might have a sister that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed with knowledge. So when other sisters come over, she's very gentle, she's very kind, she's very soft. But as soon as those sisters leave, she's very harsh with her family members. So this is a sign, or this is an indication to the family members that she doesn't act upon her knowledge. Now, then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. وَأَمَّا الْمُعَانِدْ. Now, and actually before we go on to what the Shaykh continues to say, we want to remind you that Allah Azza wa Jal ordered Musa and Harun to approach Fir'aun وَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَأَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرَ أَوْ يَخْشَى. In Surah Taha, Allah Azza wa Jal ordered Musa and Harun to approach Fir'aun and to say gentle words to him. Perchance, he might reflect or he might fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So there's no doubt that that's an umda. That is a foundation with regards to calling and reminding the people in Islam. Then Shaykh Salaf Ozan says, وَأَمَّا الْمُعَانَدْ وَالْمُكَابِرْ. As for the individual who is refuses and rejects and prideful, فَمَّ هَذَ لَهُ خِطَابٌ آخَرٌ. Then we treat him in a different manner. قال الله سبحانه وَلَا تُجَادِلُ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنٌ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. Do not debate with the people of the book except with that which is better, except those who have oppressed from amongst them. The statement of Allah in Surah Al-Ankabut. The 46th verse. And the Shaykh mentions the rest of the verse. Told you that if an individual, when a'udhu billah, if you have a neighbor, the comment, if you have a neighbor who is very prideful and has rejected Islam and has openly said, don't talk to me, I don't want to hear it, it's this, it's that, it's that. And are you to still come out of your house and see him and say hello, good morning? No. After he's been your neighbor for 10 years. And for the first 5 years, you were kind, you were gentle. And then after that, he continued to insult Islam. Are you still to come out of your house and say, good morning, how are you? No. No. Reality is, every individual, you know, there's a limitation. There's a limitation. As we find in the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very gentle with Quraysh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very kind with Quraysh. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prostrated next to the Kaaba, and they came and they poured the intestines of the camels on his back, and Fatima came running and she removed it from the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now they've crossed the line. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated against the people of Quraysh at that time. And the Sahaba said, everyone that the Prophet supplicated against, we saw that individual killed. We saw that individual killed. Now, then Sheikh says, فَالَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَعَانَدُوا وَكَابَرُوا هَؤُلَاءِ لَا يُخَاطِبُونَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ بَلْ يُخَاطِبُونَ بِمَا يَرْدَعَهُمْ. So the people, the disbelievers, those who have rejected, those who have been prideful, then we do not speak to them in a manner which is ahsan. But we speak to them with that which stops them. قال تعالى, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ جَاهِدِ الْكُفَّارَ وَالْمُنَافِكِينَ وَاغْلُظْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرَ. And Surah At-Tawbah, the 73rd verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger, fight the kuffar and the munafiqeen and be tough with them. And be tough with them. Their destination is the hellfire, and it is a terrible destination. المنافقون لا يجاهدون بالسلاح وإنما يجاهدون بالحجة والكلام والرد عليهم بالغلظة ردعا لهم وتنفيرا للناس عنهم. So the munafiqun, they are not fought with the sword. There's a comment. Why are the munafiqun not fought with the sword? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew who the munafiqun were, and he gave that information to Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. He gave that information to Hudhayfa, and at times you would have individuals who were known to be from a munafiqun because of their actions, because of their statements, and at times Umar ibn al-Khattab or Khalid ibn al-Walid, they would approach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, Ya Rasulullah, da'ani adribu. They would say, Ya Rasulullah, da'ani adribu unaqa hadha al-munafiq. At times they would say, Ya Rasulullah, allow me to chop the neck of that hypocrite. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la. He would say, no. La yatahaddath an-nasu anna Muhammadan yaqtulu ashaba. He said, no. Because I will not allow the people to say that Muhammad kills his companions. Yani the people, from amongst the disbelievers, the weak Muslims, they don't know that these people are munafiqun. They don't know that these people are hypocrites. All they see is, he looks to be a believer. He looks to be a Muslim. But the Prophet ﷺ would leave them, knowing that they're hypocrites, he would leave them, he would call them, he would remind them, he would admonish them, but would he kill them? No. Because he did not want the kuffar speaking ill against him that he kills his companions. That he kills his companions. Now, so the munafiqun, how do we treat these individuals? We admonish them, we remind them, we establish the proofs upon them, and we leave their affair to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, وقال تعالى وقل لهم في أنفسهم قولا بليغا. In Surah An-Nisa 63, Allah says, say to them something strong. هؤلاء لهم خطاب خاص لأنهم أهل عناد ومكابرة ولا يريدون الحق بل يريدون تضليل الناس فهؤلاء يخاطبون بما يليق بهم. So these individuals, we don't treat them in kindness, or we don't speak to them in kindness, because they are people who are, you know, are prideful. There are people who, reject. There are individuals who are stubborn. So these individuals, they don't want the truth, but they want to guide people astray. So we have a speech specifically for them. And then the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala, we want to cut through some of that which he said, but the individual who he's sincere, the individual we notice from him that he's seeking guidance, we speak to him with kindness, we speak to him with gentleness and the likes. Then he says, "I'lam rahimakallah." The statement of the author, "May Allah have mercy upon you." No, "May Allah have mercy upon you." This is the du'a. This is a du'a from the Shaykh that Allah Tabaraka Taala makes you from amongst those who have success in this life and in the next. And indeed, the Shaykh said, "وَهَذَا دُعَاءٌ مِنْ عَالِمٍ جَلِيلٍ وَرَجُلٍ صَالِحٍ يُرْجَى لَهُ الْقُبُولُ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ." He said, and this dua, it is a dua from a righteous individual. It is the dua from a scholar. And there's no doubt, the more, you know, the more taqwa an individual has, the more piety an individual has, it is hoped that this person's dua is accepted. So here we have a dua for this individual, for everyone who is reading his treatise. For everyone who is reading his treatise. And we, indeed we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua from the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala, for those. And the fact that we're reading the book, we pray that Allah accepts it from us, and that we are, you know, that the mercy of Allah Ta'ala befalls upon us. This is, أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا تَعَلَّمُ أَرْبَعِ مَسَائِلِ. It is obligatory upon us to learn four issues. He says, قَوْلُهُ يَجِبُ, the statement of the author, it is obligatory. The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala, I'm going to summarize that, what he said. He's talking about the ahkam al-fiqhiyya al-khams. That you have five, the scholars of fiqh, they say, in terms of the legislation, there are five rulings. One, al-wajib, that which is obligatory. And the definition of al-wajib is that, huwa ma yuthabu fa'iluhu wa yu'aqibu tariku. The one who performs it is rewarded, and the one who abandons it is punished. Once again, al-wajib, which is obligatory, and notice Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab said, it is obligatory that we learn this. It is obligatory that we learn this. Now keep in mind, and this is just a comment, when Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab says obligatory that we learn this, he means the content. It's obligatory that we know this content. That which is going to be brought in this book. It is obligatory that we know it. We know the content. We understand it. We live by it. Is it obligatory that I have to read it in this book? No. He's compiled the book for you to understand, for you to memorize the proofs and the likes of that. But it doesn't, and Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab didn't say that it's obligatory for you to memorize it from this book. No. If there's another book you can memorize it from, if it's summarized for you, if it mentions the proof from the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wonderful. But this book has done that. So the content is obligatory. The content is obligatory. Does it have to be taken from this book? No. If there's another book which is similar to it and the likes of that, walillah alhamd. Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala never called to himself. He never called to himself. He gathered the knowledge, he compiled it, he presented it in a manner which is easy for a student to memorize and comprehend, but he never said that you have to memorize this book, it's a must and the likes of that. No, that is not the case. Now somebody at that moment, they might say, but didn't the scholars of Saudi Arabia of the past, didn't they say, and didn't the ruler say that it's obligatory to teach this book in the masajid? Yes, because it was the only book of its like at that time. It was the only book of its likes at that time. And even till today, you don't have many books that are compiled in such a manner that gathers the information which is obligatory upon the Muslim in the affair of Aqidah and present it in a manner which is comprehensive, in a manner which is summarized as the books of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. So because of that, the government, you know, the government, after the time of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab and the scholars and the likes of that, they said it's obligatory for the imams and the teachers to teach these books. Why? Because there weren't any books that were similar to it at that time. And even now, there aren't many books that present the information in such a way. You know, there aren't many books that present the information in such a way, but that which is obligatory is the content. That which is obligatory is the content, and if you memorize it from this book, it makes it easy for you. Makes it easy for you because it gathers the information and it presents it in a manner which is clearly understood. Now, he says, so al-wajib is that if the individual performs it, he is rewarded, and if he abandons it, he is punished. The next one, al-mustahab, recommended. Al-mustahab, yuthabu fa'iluhu wa la yu'aqibu tariku. Al-mustahab is that which is recommended. If a person performs it, they get a reward. If they don't perform it, there's no punishment upon them. Al-haram, which is the third. Al-haram is yu'aqib fa'iluhu wa yuthabu tarikuhu. Haram, which is mandatory, obligatory, al-haram, which is forbidden, al-haram, which is forbidden, is the opposite of wajib. And that is, the person who performs it gets punished. And the person who abandons it gets rewarded. The person who performs it gets punished. And the person who abandons it gets rewarded. That was the fourth. And the fifth is al-mubah. The fifth, al-mubah. It's allowed. لا يثاب فاعله ولا يعاقب تاركه. Al-mubah, it's allowed. It is the individual who performs it does not get a reward, and the individual who abandons it does not get a punishment. Those are the ahkam al-fiqhiyya al-khamsa. Those are the five fiqh principles. Naam. Then he says, يعني أن هذا الأمر ليس هو من المستحب. يعني this affair of tawheed, it is not something which is recommended. This affair of tawheed, it is not something which is recommended. ولا من المباح, it is not something which is permissible. بل هو من الواجب العيني, but it is obligatory upon everyone. فإذا تركنا تعلم هذه المسائل فإننا نعثم. So if you leave learning these issues, if you abandon learning these issues, there's a sin upon you. There's a sin upon you because, comment, these issues are pertaining to your aqidah. As we're going to read and understand it clearly later on, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab Rahim Allah Ta'ala, he based Usul al-Thalatha on the three questions of the grave. Man Rabbuk, wa ma dinuk, wa man nabiyuk. Who is your Lord? What is your religion and who is your prophet? Al-Usul al-Thalatha is based on those three questions of the grave. Is it obligatory for us to know the answers to those questions? Yes. Yes, it is obligatory upon us. Now, so the Shaykh says, so if we abandon learning these issues, then we are in sin. هذا شأن الواجب, because this is the meaning of wajib. He did not say it is something recommended. He did not say it is good for you, but he said it is obligatory. Naam. Then cutting through some of that which he mentioned, hafizahullah ta'ala. The first, al-awla al-ilm. The first thing which is obligatory for us to know is knowledge. Knowledge. And Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab said, وَهُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة. Knowledge is to know Allah, to know His Messenger, and to know the religion of Islam with نعم. شيخ صالح فوزان. العلم المراد بالعلم هنا هو العلم الشرعي. That which is meant by knowledge is knowledge from the legislation. One second. That which is meant by knowledge is knowledge from the legislation. لأنه الذي يجب تعلمه. Because this is that which is obligatory for you. This is that which is obligatory for you to learn. يعني the knowledge of the legislation. يعني is it obligatory, common? Is it obligatory for you to learn how to drive? No, it's not obligatory. يعني it's not obligatory for a person to learn how to drive. Is it obligatory for a person to learn how to use a computer? No, it's not obligatory for him to learn how to use a computer. Is it obligatory for him to learn who his Lord is? Yes. Is it obligatory for him to learn who his Prophet is? Yes. Is it obligatory for him to learn the religion of Islam? Yes. So notice the difference. So notice the difference. Now, The time has reached 1 hour, so we're going to stop at this moment. And inshallah, we will continue next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and we left off on the affair of knowledge. Now, there's something that I'm going to say, and the brothers from Salafi Events, they can take the, you know, they take the comments and the suggestions of the people. And that is, we can deliver the lesson in a summarized manner, so that we just mention the main points of what is said by Sheikh Salih Fawzan, and we cut through so that we can finish the book within 3 months or the likes, or we can go page by page. Now, sitting with the ulama, walillahi alhamd, the likes of Sheikh Salih Fawzan and the other ulama, when they explain books of others from amongst the ulama, they explain it word by word. They explain it word by word. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafizahullah ta'ala, when he does the books of Ibn Taymiyyah, when he does the books of Ibn Qayyim and the likes, he explains it word by word. He reads from the explanation, word by word. If the book is one volume, sometimes the book may take 2 years. Sometimes the book may take 3 years. But we study the book word by word, understanding specifically what is intended by the author. Understanding specifically what is intended by the author. We can do that. We can try to finish the book or complete the book within 3 months, within 6 months, and we summarize it so that we can go on to something else. Now that's something, you know, we would like to see, we would like to know the suggestions of the people. Not that we're implementing democracy or the likes, but we would just like to know the suggestions of the people, and you can send that to the brothers at Salafi Events, and we will review that. And, you know, obviously, at the end of the day, the final decision is ours, but we would like to know the suggestion of the people. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslim. In terms of questions, every other lesson we will do questions, we will entertain questions from next week. Because I said every other lesson, and this would be the time that I would accept the questions, but we will start questions inshallah from next week. Every other lesson, we will accept questions bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, so inshallah next week.